Aristotle argued in his embryology quite passionately against what's sometimes called the homunculus view, that is, the view according to which the embryo or its parts are contained in miniature in the body of one or another of the parents, most usually the father. In antiquity, we can read versions of this view in the famous speech that Apollo gives in Aeschylus's play The Eumenides, in which he describes the father as being the real parent and the mother is just, as it were, the receptacle in which the father deposits the small embryo, as it were. Aristotle is very clear and forceful in his rejection of the notion that the parts of the offspring in animal reproduction must somehow be from the very beginning in the seed of one or the other of its parents. According to Aristotle's views, the animal is contained in the seed, but only formally. That is, in the sense that the seed has the power to produce the animal by some process of what he calls epigenesis, that is, some process of formation which occurs through giving information on how to produce another of the same kind. If that sounds familiar to you from your understanding of the way in which we now think of DNA as providing the formal information which gives instructions for how animals are to be reproduced, that's not too surprising. It's because of Aristotle's views on this subject that the great 20th century biologist Max Delbruck once suggested, of course half in jest, that Aristotle should be awarded the Nobel Prize posthumously for his discovery of DNA. The reason that Delbruck suggested this is because of Aristotle's view that the way in which animal reproduction occurs is by the passing on of formal information for the project of growing, as it were, from seed, another animal of the same kind. Well, in general, that sense that it's formal and teleological structure that's most important in the explanation of animal phenomena is what distinguishes Aristotle's views. Darwin once wrote, and I love this quote about Aristotle from Darwin, Linnaeus and Cuvier, Darwin wrote, have been my two gods, though in very different ways, but they were mere schoolboys, he said. They were mere schoolboys compared to Aristotle. Well, it would be nice if we could talk in this lecture about the details of Aristotle's biological work, but it seems to me that that's not the best use of our time. I'm going to instead invite us to look at the most abstract and the most formal aspect of his biology, the treatise that's standardly referred to, as I've been referring to it here, as the De Anima, which just is Latin for on the soul. That is a translation of the title that Aristotle, or at least one of his editors, gave the treatise in antiquity, Peripsuches, that is, the treatise concerning the psuche, or the soul. So in this lecture, what I'm going to be talking about is that treatise on the soul as an inquiry into the most philosophically abstract theoretical account of animal life. And you'll understand this if you think back to what we talked about when we spoke about Plato's dialogue, The Phaedo, at which point we said that what the soul is an explanatory principle that distinguishes between things that are alive and things that are not alive. So what we're going to do in this lecture is look at some remarks that Aristotle made about previous discussions of the soul by his predecessors, and then we'll spend some time talking about the interesting and characteristic definition that he gives of the soul, and furthermore at some of the functions and features of things that have souls, that is, animals. Now, in what I just said, I equated having a soul with being an animal, and I remarked that you could remember this from our discussion of Plato's Phaedo and the way in which the soul there is understood to be the principle of animal life. We can understand this by imagining the following question that someone might pose to Aristotle. Why does Aristotle begin by asking what the soul is, rather than asking, is there such a thing as a soul? It seems like one might think that that's an illegitimate way to begin the treatise. Why not first ask the question, is there such a thing as the soul? And then, if you decide that there is, give an explanation of its nature. Wouldn't it be possible to give an explanation of living things without reference to an entity such as a soul? I mean, suppose that it were the case that we could explain thoroughly what it is to be alive, just as we think we can on chemical, or many of us think we can, chemical and scientific principles, without reference to any such thing as a soul. Well, the answer to that question should reveal to us that in asking what the nature of the soul is, Aristotle is simply asking for the principle of distinguishing living from non-living or no longer living things. That is to say, if it were the case that we were to establish clearly that the principle that explains why things are alive is purely chemical, biological, electromagnetic, physical, or whatever, then that would be the nature of the soul. So the soul is just whatever the principle is that explains living things being alive, that is, that explains animals as animals. And that's why I said in our discussion of the Phaedo, when we talked about that in Plato, that the soul is simply the form of animal life. Whatever then emerges as an account of what it is to be alive will be part of an account, such as Aristotle offers, of the nature of the soul, the psuche. And one further evidence of this is the fact that the word in Greek for being alive is empsuchos. It's just as in our English word animate, which means having an anima, having a soul.